You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck.
Ew!
Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lakeshore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
All right, welcome then. Mackie and Judd wrap with Royce every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday on our podcast and the Score North YouTube channel. You'll have to excuse Patrick. He cut himself shaving, and so he'll be dabbing blood off of his face throughout this episode here.
With today. A beach towel, too.
Wow, classy guy. I told these guys it was a top five moment of my career and maybe life when I was featured in a Patrick Royce column in the Star Tribune, not for anything sports-related, but for a wrestling column, and you're down on AEW after sampling it, Pat.
Well, no, it's probably an upgrade on WWE, which is obviously worn out, but it can never replace the actually, it was just a setup so I could write about Hector Hercules Cortez dying and the genius that the guy died at 2 a.m., and they had a way to play off it by 8 p.m. that night, and that basically set up the future of the AWA for the next 5 years. Vern and Wally Carbo, who we remember as this guy we could barely understand, they were geniuses at setting up the scenario that would play out 3-4 months at a time. But in this case, Hercules, the car crash was at 2. They didn't know about it till the next morning. And by the time they got in the ring at 8 o'clock Saturday night, they had it figured out what they were going to do. Vern was going to keep this title instead of give it to Nick. Nick was going to end up with Ray Stevens, who was just being introduced that night. He became a villain that night by watching the Gagne and Nick match and jumping up to Nick's defense when the sleeper hold was on him, claiming it was a choke. Anyway, they set up the next 5 years of the AWA in a crisis situation. It was genius.
Brilliant booking. Yes. WWE can't figure out. It's been 15 years since they put together a coherent storyline. So maybe they should go back in the archives and look.
Yes, that's true. But I got to admit, I watched the CM Punk thing. You see 19,000 people going insane in United Center because this guy comes walking back in the arena was pretty impressive. I got
grown men. It's always funny when grown men cry at a wrestling event. Yes. And I think Declan and I have been among them in our lives.
Oh, my God.
So we can't.
What turned me off was the commentator with Jim Ross is wearing a mask. We don't need a guy with a mask as the commentator, and not the old time Dr. M mask that you tore off a guy's face, you know, but this plastic shield type of thing and a titanium mask or something. And then you can't understand him because he's talking through a mask. That turned me off.
Dick Bramer should try that on a Twins broadcast. He should just have the Excalibur mask.
Morneau in a mask.
Well, you know, Dick could probably wear it in protest of the fact they won't let him go on a road and see what's happening in the game. Are these cheap? That's an underplayed story. Are these cheap SOBs going to let their writers, their broadcasters back on the radio on the road? What the
hell? Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's I. I think radio will, you know, the Twins.
And some have.
But, yeah, a lot of them have. But the Twins are still saving the money, the Twins and CCO. I think the Twins pay the bills for him to travel. But why they're not sending him back on the road, maybe just because they stink and they want to save $20. But it is folly when these guys can't see what's happening and they're trying to describe the game to you, right?
Yes.
I've got it off TV, you know.
And I think that Gladdy, I think if he's told, hey, you know what, the days of travel are done, I think we might have a new partner for Corey Paul very quickly because Gladdy really likes to enjoy those bars.
Gladdy was talking about how the Boston game is on Patriots Day next year, right? But it's the start of a series, so they're in there for 3 days. So you get the game over at 2 p.m. Gladdy was talking excitedly about that, and Provis pointed out to him that maybe we aren't going to be there. You know, so Provis does a pretty good job of agitating Gladdy.
Hey, what did you think of Frank Viola's comments on Twitter late last week?
Well, you got to remember that Frank is the pitching coach in an independent league in High Point, North Carolina, and that's pretty much been his job for 3 years now down there. And remember when he wasn't he a mentioned candidate for pitching coach here, Phil, like before the regime change, I think, in 15 or
there were some rumblings. Yeah.
Yes. And I think he's probably a little bitter about having to draw an independent league salary in High Point and when he feels like he has something to offer. But it was it did kind of come out of nowhere, didn't it? And it fits the narrative that so many of the fans are now trying to, you know, say, hey, even Frankie's saying this. Well, you know, I love Frankie, but if he was the pitching genius that he would like us to believe he is, he wouldn't be in High Point, North Carolina, right? So, correct. In an independent league. So, yeah. I don't know.
Just for people that didn't see the comments, he tweeted out and a bunch of, I think his wife was responding and agreeing at one point. Kathy, this front office.
Will jump right in there. There's no doubt about it.
They lack the human element, and they need a baseball person setting the tone and the culture of the organization, and they have a failed organization right now because they don't have those things.
Frankie, I'll never forget one of my favorite moments in the Twins clubhouse way back when Frankie Jr. was in the clubhouse, and he was whining about five or something. He was whining like something. I can't remember if it was Herbeck or Gaetti or who said, like father, like son. Because he was whining. Frankie Jr. was whining and crying about something. And Frankie kind of had that reputation. So I like Frankie, but it was, out of left field. And what do you want to burn that bridge for? You know, I just don't understand it. Because you're not accomplishing anything.
Pat, I think it was time of tweet. Check out the time of tweet.
Oh, okay.
I think the bridge was burned because the drinks were flowing, is my guess.
So it was the Tom Powers 2 a.m. shot.
Yes. And much like Tom Viola, probably doesn't give a damn what the Twins
are. I think Tom Powers, instead of like apologizing and trying to make up, Tom's like, I'm just going to retire, actually.
Yes, I'm going to quit.
Well, he was just doing the part-time column by then. He's like, I don't need this crap at all.
I'm good. Yeah.
The great walk away.
We had that bit when the Tom Powers moment on our show that we would, when I was going to go off on a rant, we got his little thing going. Now Ricey is going to have a
no, Tom Pat, Powers stop, moment. Stop.
So it's time for us to forget all other matters in this town and start getting ready for the Buckeyes, isn't it?
Yeah, two days away.
Two days away. I was reading some of the Gophers' offensive line has the Buckeyes a little nervous because they got the five big guys and they often run the six man off and they use another tackle instead of a tight end. And they're going to come out and try to hold the ball. And Ohio State, their top four linebackers are gone from last year. And Ohio State's always been a big linebacker. You know, they got the great front, but the front's there to let the linebackers make tackles. And this kid from Ohio State, from Southern Cal, who was supposed to be a hotshot transfer linebacker, has not been ruled eligible yet by the NCAA. So there's a good chance he won't be playing for Thursday. So anyway, I think I said this the other day. When's the last time the Gophers were only 13.5 point underdogs against Ohio State?
Yeah.
That tells you that the fellas who analyze this stuff think 13.5 means it's a big upset, right? But it's not the usual 24 that it is when they play them, or 28 or stuff like that. So the Gophers are getting, you can't say they're not getting any respect because they're 13.5 point underdogs, because that might be the lowest number for them since 25 years, maybe. Now, the Gophers don't play Ohio State that often traditionally, but now offensively, there's going to be a challenge here. If the Stroud kid, if the five-star redshirt freshman who hasn't played is good, then the Gophers defense has issues for sure. But I think they're going to come out and try to hold the ball for 40 minutes and see if that works.
Zim's going to love this game plan.
Oh,
Zim,
yeah.
Run the ball, hold the ball on offense.
According to ActionNetwork.com, boys, 88% of the bets are on Ohio State for this game, and 85% of the money is on Ohio State.
Wow.
So the public is rushing.
They don't think 13.5 is enough. Then.
The public is swallowing the points, and that makes me think even more that this might be a close game when the public is that all in, 90% almost.
Yeah,
on one side.
Oh, I would, I think the Gophers are going to this season come to you with a very conservative offensive plan in which they're going to be 3rd-and-2 a lot and give the ball to Abraham and try to hold the ball, because they got the oldest offensive line in the country and one of the biggest. And they got Andreas going to be a NFLer, the right tackle. That guy, I can't pronounce the field. But how do we pronounce Daniel's name?
Filele?
Daniel Filele, right?
Filele. He's going to be. They got two NFLers on that front, and Filele, until he got hurt and didn't play last year and COVIDed out, I thought he was an early departer in the first couple of rounds. So, and then Andreas will be a third rounder maybe, so. They got the good offensive line, and they might be able to hold the ball. I was thinking of another thing today, and, this is not good because I had a little tantrum yesterday about listening to one of PJ's sound bites. But with what's going on in college football, with the transfers, with the chance to make money, with the knowledge that these guys have to have on the increasingly new social platforms, Twitter is for me, right? Twitter is now.
Yeah, Twitter got old real fast.
Twitter is old, right?
TikTok, yeah.
Twitter's the only one I'm on, but that's because I'm old, right?
We'll get
Twitter's
you on TikTok old. Next week, actually.
Yeah. TikTok,
Twitter's isn't relevant anymore for the college football players. It's Instagram might be faded out for who knows what. I mean, it's that might be being replaced. But I think you need the young guy who knows what's going on as a coach, Fleck and Ryan Day at Ohio State. And, I can't see Earl Bruce sitting there squinting into the sun telling these guys, being told that, hey, he's this kid's killing it on Instagram. We got to figure out a way to get him some money. I think that now Saban is smart enough, I'm sure, to have some young geniuses on his staff or in his office to take care of all this stuff for him and make these guys rich playing football for him. But I think that the 60-year-old head coach in football, you're not going to see those guys too much.
Well, Saban was one of the first coaches the week that the NIL rules changed. He came out at a press conference, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said, Yep. This quarterback that we got in here, you know, he's got a chance to, he's got $1 million locked up already in revenue.
He might not start. Yeah. Well, with the guys he's recruiting, he's got to, you know, he can't be fighting the idea that they're going to make money is not going to help him at all. What's he care? They all leave after their junior year anyway.
Well, right? And think about how complicated, if you're a coach, you probably haven't thought a lot about, boy, if these floodgates open, what's my 10-step plan to,
yes, right.
Like the ocean of possibilities to make money as a college athlete now, and as a coach and a program, you got to be on top of how you can use those opportunities, educate potential recruits and say, this is why you should come to our school because of these 10 opportunities.
You can't fight it. That's going to be counterproductive. And I think that, you know, when the guy who's, I mean, look at Les Miles. We all love Les Miles when he coached LSU. Now he was a pervert, I guess, when things started going bad in LSU and he showed up at Kansas, he was the greatest train wreck of all time because he was trying the old BS that he'd always tried. And
he almost got hired here.
Yes.
Private jet landed here and it was basically him and Fleck.
He wanted the job. He asked for it.
He wanted the job. He actually showed up for an interview that they really weren't offering him, right? I don't think that they didn't want him, but he wanted the job because he didn't want to go to Kansas. And now he can't even go on Kansas. But I'm wondering how Herm's doing, because Herm's already under investigation. Here's another thing to look for. I said this, I think, to Jet yesterday. I heard a guy, one of the ESPN football guys, was talking about the amount of your production you have back from last year because of the pandemic, guys, the six, you know, that there's more. College football is probably going to be tougher than it's been in a long time because everybody's back. Right.
Yeah.
And Northwestern defending champs, they're the worst in the country. They got nobody back. Look for them to go 1-7 in the 1-8 in the Big Ten. And Herm, for some reason, even though he's having extra practices, got 92% of his production back down at Arizona State. They're saying, look out for Arizona State. This is a weird year, and I think Ohio State lost all four of their linebackers. They lost their running back. They lost their quarterback. I think when you look at what do you have back, I don't know how they're number four in the country.
Yeah, well, it helps when you lose everyone and then you have 15 five-star recruits.
Well, when I was looking at their depth chart, and they do have, you know, now juniors who are moving in the lineup who are four or five stars. So, yeah, I mean, they're good. There's no doubt about it. I think that you gotta look in this era when somebody like the Gophers really lost nobody. You got to look at the fact that you're playing a team that lost a lot of guys. You know, they're all their linebackers and, you know, their best. They have great receivers. There's no doubt about it. Now PJ was comparing him with Fleck and Swan. Stallworth and Swan and those guys. So they may not be that good, the Ohio State receivers, but they're probably pretty good.
What's changed too, though, now is the ability to go out and find players who are transferring who are actually damn good. That's what's going to change this thing entirely. Now it goes from solely recruiting to a free agency period that's as good or better than some in pro sports.
Oh yeah, it's going to be
with veteran players.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be insane. After the transfer portal was what they ended up with, between basketball and football and everything else, 2,500 or something like that. I don't know how many of them actually transferred, but. There's going to be two recruiting periods. If you're getting that 4 and 5 star, you got to get him on the field and you got to make some money for him.
Right.
He'll be going someplace else.
Yeah.
How about, you know how weird a college football year it goes? Isn't Iowa State rated 7th?
Yeah. They're high. Yeah. Yes.
Iowa State rated.
There's I don't know where they're, stays. But people are
and
high.
Nobody
on
knows them. Exactly why their coach stays.
There's no reason that. There's no chance that guy will be there next year. Zero. I don't care what anybody says. No chance. And by the way, Harbaugh is another guy, one of the old timers who, this is not for him. This modern era of all this freedom.
Yeah, he got old quick too.
If PJ has a good year, that'd be where I'd look for him to, you might lose him to.
Yeah. Michigan. No, well, yeah, we'll see. PJ, I feel like PJ needs a big year to be considered for, and by big year, I mean like he has to probably get to the Big Ten championship game to get a job above where he's at right now. So we'll see.
Well, maybe. But anyway, this is my bouquet to PJ. He's young and knows what the hell's going on. Unlike us old bastards.
Wow, putting the pressure on Pat. I see right through this act.
Unlike us old bastards who still think Twitter's the new age thing, you know.
I see right through this, Royce. You are putting the pressure. It's genius. You're putting the pressure and the expectations. Hey, they could be close to the Buckeyes.
I don't think it's an act.
If they lose, it's not. I'm serious here. I'm serious.
Pat, turn your music down. Turn your ringtone down, Pat.
Don't forget the man was in the end zone.
Sorry, honey, I can't hear you. All right, Pat.
But it's, hey, you don't get to open against the number 4 team in the country at home too often this year. This got to be the story of the week. Let's go here. Come on.
I'm with you. Less than 48 hours. Pat, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Judd.
All right. That's wrapping with Royce here on Mackie and Judd. Nope.
Some people celebrate the holidays, but you dominate the holidays. You deck the halls, the mantle, and anything else that will stand still. You deserve a bold cold brew that's as festive as you. Topped with creamy cookie butter cold foam, covered in cookie butter crumbles, and perfectly pairable with our new cookie butter donut, Dunkin's Cookie Butter Cold Brew is a delicious match for your decked out domination. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.